My name is Daniel B. Wallace, or Dan Wallace. I am Senior Research Professor of New Testament Studies at Dallas Theological Seminary and the Executive Director of the Center for the Study of New Testament Manuscripts.
Dan, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Great to see you here at our library.
Thank you for the great lunch. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we feed you well, don't we?
I'm afraid you feed me too well. My doctor's not going to like you.
Okay. Well, when the blood work comes back, just let me know.
Yeah. See if we can doctor it, right?
Now, you've been here a couple of times. What are your impressions of the library?
It's getting there. It's a good starter library.
It's a good starter library,
Probably what a pastor would have after about 700 years. Imagine. It's awesome. This is an awesome place. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
What a vision Mark Lanier had for this place.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to the future. Great things happening. So for those who don't know, who is Daniel B. Wallace?
I am husband to Patty Wallace. Hmm. 48 years this summer.
Wow.
And the day we met at Biola University, we stole a car together.
You stole a car?
Yeah. And I'll just leave it there. That's, you know.
So now you want to add to that story?
No, now you just know I'm a sinner, and that's about all you're going to know about me.
Okay. So,
but make sure you know that. And we have four sons. They're all adults: Noah, Benjamin, Andrew, and Zachary. Two of them are married, and we have four grandkids: three granddaughters and one grandson.
Oh,
and we have a black Labrador called Porter.
Ah, okay. And does he sleep at the foot of the bed?
She.
Yeah. Porter. She sleep at the foot of the bed?
She does.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she's pretty close. I have people call their dogs their fur children.
Fur children, yeah.
Fur children.
Yeah, she's pretty special.
She's pretty special.
Yeah, we've had dogs our whole life. Beagles and Labradors are what we've had, and we name our beagles after Latin or Greek wordplays.
Oh.
And then our Labradors we've named after dark beers. So previous lab was St. Pauli Girl the Dark.
Oh, really?
And Porter's name is Big Whiskey's Anchor Porter. Anchor Porter is a little Anchorstein brewery in San Francisco, a little old brewery.
So, oh, gosh.
So I had some good friends who were very fundamentalist, uptight, teetotalers, and if you drink, you're not a Christian kind of thing. They said, oh, what's your dog's name? Pauli. Oh, what'd you name her after? A really good friend that I have enjoyed many times.
Many times, yeah. And been up close and personal with that friend many
right.
times. Yeah. Well, we're delighted you're here at the library, and you're here for the Bill Mounts Weekend Lecture.
Yeah.
And, we're get the chance to sit down and talk with you. And you're going to be back here in May of 2023 to do your own lecture on Saturday night.
That'll be great.
We're looking forward to that. And so if people are interested, they need to stay and watch our website for details on that. Now, the Center for the Study of New Testament Manuscripts, what is that exactly?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, a way to remember the site or the name. Our website is csntm.org. Now, if you don't write this down, you'll still be able to remember it. You all have heard of C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the first two initials.
C.S.
And I bet every one of your listeners has seen The Wizard of Oz, and you know who Auntie M is.
Auntie M.
C-S-N-T-M.
So C.S. Lewis and Auntie M.
Yeah, so it's stupid and memorable, and that's the best way to learn languages, too. So.
I know, yeah. To have something unusual to connect it
right?
Yeah.
So it's a nonprofit organization that I founded 20 years ago in 2002 on September 13th with the initial goal of digitizing Greek New Testament manuscripts and posting the images online for free. The ultimate goal is to get all of them digitized, and they are in hundreds of places throughout the world, and post those images online, and ultimately to have a complete database of all extant Greek New Testament manuscripts so that we can get as close as we possibly can to recovering the words of the original in every place.
That is a huge vision.
Yeah.
Obviously it's from God. Let's start with that. But did something happen to precipitate that idea or that interest?
I took a course on textual criticism in college and in seminary. And as good as the courses were, we didn't look at any manuscript facsimiles. We had at Dallas Seminary a facsimile of Sinaiticus, Codex Sinaiticus. And each leaf had been cut out of the book and put into a plastic sleeve so that it would be preserved. And I used to visit that thing all the time. I thought, this is the most magnificent thing I've ever seen. Having had courses on textual criticism and seen that Sinaiticus facsimile, it just gave me a strong desire to get back to the original sources as best I could. And so even in the 1980s, I would kind of plan our family vacations, as rare as they were on my budget, around institutes, schools, museums that had Greek manuscripts. So we could go and visit those. Anyway, that's my wife.
Did you start taking pictures at that point? Your own pictures?
No, no, not then. But the whole reason for the digital photography is that digital cameras were starting to come into their own. I wanted to start it. I wanted to get a digital camera once they could take a picture that would be as good as an 8x10, 35 millimeter film. And once they hit about 4 megapixels, then they were that good. Our first camera cost us $1,000, a 4-megapixel camera. Our second camera cost $2,000, and it was 5 megapixels. State-of-the-art, big time. Now, the other thing that I wanted to do when I started the center was to see if we could get electronic means to read these texts and turn it into printed text, optical character recognition. And I figured since that could be done with English, it could probably be done with any alphabetic text. So that was the vision. A colleague of mine, Hall Harris, who was the project director, is the project director of the Net Bible, and a superb John scholar. He's just an amazing guy, brilliant, brilliant man. He urged me to start this institute. So with digital cameras and with the potential of OCR, I thought, it's time for us to get all these digitized. Only if we can have the manuscripts digitized can we do OCR on all of them.
Right.
So we have to take that first step. I'm happy to say that after 20 years, we've been to nearly 50 sites around the world. I've been to 35 countries. And we have we have photographed over 1,000 manuscripts ourselves. And we've also got links to another 1,000 manuscripts on our website. If you wanted to look at the Greek New Testament papyri, you go to CSNTM. You can see every single one on our site or where we provide the links, except for one papyrus in Russia that has no photographs. We've been working with Russia for a long time. We've been working with Ukraine, Bulgaria, Romania. I've been in five former Soviet bloc countries, including Russia. And we've got good relations, but right now things are a little bit tense.
Very tense, yes. Yeah.
And so we want to get that back there and get that manuscript photographed. But we've actually discovered almost 100 manuscripts, Greek New Testament manuscripts. And that's more than all the institutes in the world combined have discovered in the 21st century.
And where have these been discovered? You're not digging them up out of the ground or anything.
No, they're not. They're not archaeological digs. That's for somebody else to do. If you go to a library, especially one that has rare books and manuscripts, almost universally, they really don't know everything that they have. And sometimes these libraries, highly touted libraries, have people who can't read Greek or Hebrew or Coptic or Latin or something like that. So when we go to a library, we may know that they have manuscripts, and there's kind of a Bible for Bibles. It's called the Kurzgefasste Liste, which is produced by the Institute for New Testament Textual Research in Münster, Germany. And it shows you where all the Greek New Testament manuscripts in the world are, as far as they know. And we've used that as our first step to find out where manuscripts are. Then when we go to those sites, we'll ask for inside unpublished library catalog of their manuscripts. Comb through that, and we will often discover manuscripts that Münster doesn't know about, but the library may. But we've also discovered quite a few manuscripts that even the library staff is unaware that they have.
Now, when you say manuscript, you don't mean the whole New Testament, right? You mean?
Only 1% of all of our Greek New Testament manuscripts are the whole New Testament. We have around 5,500 Greek New Testament manuscripts today. And 62 of them, I think, are whole New Testaments. But most manuscripts, the average size Greek New Testament manuscript is over 400 pages long. Mm. Now, the earlier ones, the papyri, they're all fragmentary, but P46 is almost complete. It's very close to being complete.
Yes.
About 75-80%. When you get into the majuscules written on parchment, these used to be called uncials, but people recognize uncial as a word for Latin manuscripts, not Greek, so it's majuscule or capital letter manuscripts. Parchment is very durable. And so the oldest complete Greek New Testament manuscript in the world was found at St. Catherine's Monastery at Mount Sinai by Konstantin Tischendorf in 1859. He was sponsored by Russia. The Tsar owned it because he said, you're not going to give this back, even though Tischendorf had promised to the monks, I'll bring this back. But he kept it himself, and then Russia sold it to Britain once the Bolshevik Revolution happened and the Great Depression happened. They didn't want religious documents, but they knew that they were worth something. Sell them to the people who do want them. So 1933, the British Museum purchases Codex Sinaiticus, that manuscript that had those plastic sleeves on it at Dallas Seminary that I love so much.
Amazing.
I have seen that at the British. It's now at the British Library, and it's often on display. It's in the same room where the Beatles' White Album was. So that tells you something about something. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
But it's the oldest complete New Testament by 500 years. It's written about the middle of the 4th century, and it's Matthew 1:1 to Revelation 22. It's incredible to see a complete New Testament. We only have four manuscripts from the first millennium that were originally whole Bibles. And we have large portions of them. The second one is Vaticanus, also 4th century. It's got most of the New Testament and most of the Old Testament. That, I think, is the single most important manuscript in the world.
Which one now?
Codex Vaticanus. It's at the Vatican. Okay. And I've had a chance to spend a week looking at that, and I've looked at Sinaitica several times, but only in the case. But Vaticanus was at my desk. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then Codex Ephraemi Rescriptus, or Codex C, which is at the Bibliothèque Nationale. It's a palimpsest. The undertext was scraped off. Something was written on top hundreds of years later. And again, it was Tischendorf who visited there in the early 1840s as a very young man. It took him 2 years to transcribe these 150 leaves of text that originally were the whole Bible. Now again, this is the undertext that had been scraped clean. So in grade school and you take a big eraser and you erase everything you just wrote so you couldn't see any traces of it,
right.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. So it seemed pretty clean when they were writing on it, right?
Tischendorf took 2 years to figure it out, and he was able to read 99% of it.
That's amazing. Without any kind of other technology.
It was the French government who had done some chemical reagents, put it on there in the 1830s, that brought up the undertext.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But at the same time, nobody had been able to read it like Tischendorf could. And that manuscript, because of the chemical reagents, is falling apart now. Mm. It looks like a stencil, you know, holes in the letters all the way through.
Wow.
I had a chance to look at that also. And I found...
Anything left to photograph at this point?
Oh, yeah. There's thousands of manuscripts left to photograph.
No, but I mean of
that manuscript.
Ephraemi, yeah.
Yeah, it has not been shot with multispectral imaging yet. Mm. MSI was developed for NASA to see camouflaged military installations from space. And one of the developers of it, Greg Bierman at California Institute of Technology, is also an Orthodox Jew. Mm. And he thought, if we can do this for images on Earth from a satellite, we could use the same technology to read texts that are blackened by fire or have been erased. And the first thing he did is he applied it to the Genesis Apocryphon from Qumran. Mm-hmm. 300 words had been blackened out by fire. You could read 200 words of the text, that was it. Now you can read the whole thing. MSI revealed all the rest of it.
Now, do you carry all this equipment with you to be able to see this?
Yes.
As you go?
Yes. And this is why we typically don't tell people where we're going ahead of time, even our donors. Or if we do, we don't tell them when we'll arrive and when we'll leave. because when you're bringing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment, a little bit more since the 4-megapixel days, 150-megapixel camera now, then you want to make sure that things are not known
right.
in the travels.
Right, right. So you arrive, you spend days, weeks, depending upon what's there, I guess.
Or months.
Yeah. Photographing.
Yeah.
And making these permanent images.
At the National Library of Greece in Athens, we photographed in 2015 and 2016 all 300 of their Greek New Testament manuscripts. Mm. We trained 44 people. I prepared every manuscript for photography, writing up the metadata, which takes anywhere between 2 and 4 or 5 hours on each manuscript. And it's still at a very fast pace. I had to average 7,500 pages a week of preparing the metadata. The most important thing is how many pages are there?
Mm.
So that when you shoot on the right side, the recto, and you end up with 192 pictures, you'd better have 192 on the verso, or you've messed up someplace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
80% of our manuscripts are foliated. That is, they put the number on the right page, and 80% of the time they're wrong somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't count on that.
No.
So I have to go through, give instructions to the photographers. This is going to say 126 when it's actually 226. Or it goes back 100, or it skips 20, or we have a whole gathering, you know, four bifolios inserted upside down after it was rebound.
Mm.
And so now it's page 120 down to 105, you know, upside down. and we just saw that at Lambeth Palace in London a few weeks ago.
Mm.
We spent $800,000 to do that shoot at the National Library of Greece, and I was there for weeks, several weeks at a time. I've been to Greece now 32 times, and everybody at the hotel knows me. Oh, Mr. Dan, you're back. Professor, welcome.
Yeah.
Great people.
Your reputation precedes you. Now,
just at the hotel. Nobody else knows.
So who's working with you in this project? This is not a solo project.
Not at all. I have this little institute, CSNTM, that now has 10 employees. 9 of whom are full-time.
Hmm.
I think it's amazing how well we have grown. When we would go to places, it started out as a summer project, and CSNTM existed in my closet, in my living room, and in my garage.
Hmm.
My wife was the treasurer, bookkeeper, secretary, not a job. She didn't like working for me. married to me is enough of a headache. So
yeah. No more. I understand that. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
My wife. My wife would say the same thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Like being married to you, but don't want to work for you.
Yeah. I'm an HMH, a high maintenance husband. I'm so absent-minded, she has to remember everything for me.
Mm.
So it grew. Our initial budget was $35,000 a year, and now it's 7 figures.
Wow.
And so the only thing that's keeping us from getting all these manuscripts photographed is the money and the open doors.
Mm-hmm.
But the doors are opening because we have the finest equipment in the world now for any kind of photography. And it's just a matter of getting the funds on everything. But we're nonprofit, you know.
Yeah.
It's an exciting venture to trust the Lord in how he raises money for this project.
So are you out raising money part of the time with this?
A little bit. We have a development manager who takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere I speak, I'll talk about CSNTM. And obviously, we need money, tax deductible, of course. But what I've been convinced about, and this is, I've seen this time and time again, we'll go someplace and all of a sudden they say, we don't know who you are, go away.
Hmm.
Spent thousands of dollars to get a team over there with this very expensive equipment, and then the Lord opens the doors that had just been slammed in our face.
Really?
And then the way we get into some libraries that everybody said, there's no way you'll be able to ever get in there, and we get in. I'm absolutely convinced that God is far more interested in Scripture than we are.
Hmm.
And he shows it time and time again. Because of digital photography, because of how all of these manuscripts, since they're written on organic material, are deteriorating, it is imperative that we get high-resolution digital copies of these things made as soon as possible throughout the world, in places where they are being destroyed by fires, by war, by rats, by water damage, by poor care in the environment. And I could tell you stories about some well-known libraries that do not care for their manuscripts very well at all. Mm. And I will not do that.
Yeah,
but
right.
That's for me.
But that does happen.
It does happen. Yeah. It happens too much.
When I was at the John Rylands Library a number of years ago, they talked about the fact that in their basement or someplace there, they had boxes of manuscripts.
Yeah.
That they don't even know what they have.
Right.
And they were begging me to come back and would you spend some time and. You know, they were looking for people. I don't know if you've been to John Rylands Library or not, but I'm sure
that's the one place I haven't been to. I've gotten there too late when it closes. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's how C.H. Roberts discovered P-52. You know, our oldest papyrus. Mm. It was left in a shoebox by Frederick Kenyon, who'd been at the library before him, who became the librarian of the British Museum, the head librarian. Mm. And C.H. Roberts, a young buck, just got his doctorate. He gets this shoebox and he pulls out one of the small fragments about the size of a credit card. And on one side, he reads it, and it's in a very good hand. It's a professional hand. John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38. Mm-hmm. And then on the back side, he reads it as John 18, 31 to 33. Well, if that's on both sides and it's some John chapter 18, this means the book form must have been a codex, you know, or modern book form, not a scroll.
Right.
We don't know who invented the codex, but we do know that the Christians popularized it. And in the first 5 centuries of the Christian era, over 90% of all Christian books were written on a codex. Only 14% of all non-Christian books were written on a codex. Hmm. So by AD 500, now we're getting to the place where the rest of the world is catching up with the technology that the Christians popularized.
Right.
It's the first and, I think, only time that we were ahead of the technological curve.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right about that. Well, so we're talking about the Center for the Study of New Testament Manuscripts, csntm.org. If people are interested, they can go and see some of these images. They can go and learn more about what you're up to, and they can go and donate.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you wouldn't mind that, would you?
We've got a lot of links on there. You can search for things in manuscripts. It's a very flexible Google-type search that we've got. So you get on the manuscript page, and you type in John 3:16. Well, for all of the manuscripts that we have been able to index, where we know what's on every single page, and it's not a lot of them yet, but it's maybe 20%, it will pull up all the pages that have John 3:16 on that page. It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good.
Or any verse you want.
Right.
And, it's pretty exciting what the technology is doing. It's a wedding of the ancient with the modern. Mm. And what I think right now we're doing with this multispectral imaging is we're standing at the cusp of a new renaissance, of being able to discover things that have been in plain sight, but we did not have the technology to see them.
But now we have it.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Dan Wallace, thanks for being with us today on...
Thanks, David. Appreciate that.
...Stone Chapel. Thanks to Janet Seifert and Kathy Capes for helping us produce this podcast. Jocelyn Solis is responsible for promoting the Stone Chapel podcast on all of our social media. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Foundation. If you have questions or comments or just want to be in touch, email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. That's podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.